Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during April. Up here in Boston, even with daylight time in effect, twilight comes fairly early. You'll find that the sun sets between 7:30 and 8 during most of this month, and by 9 p.m. it's good and dark. So let's head out. You'll want to stay out for at least 15 to 30 minutes to give your eyes a chance to adapt to the darkness. While your eyes are getting adjusted, let's check out the major landmarks, sky marks, that are overhead. New moon falls on the 14th, so for the first couple of weeks you'll be able to view the starry sky without interference from moonlight. There's a planet pairing over in the west, but to see it you'll need to find a spot with a clear, unobstructed view in that direction. Until about April 10th, Venus and Mercury, the two closest planets to the Sun, will shine together low in the twilight after sunset. They form an eye-catching pair. Venus is the brighter of the two planets. It's the famed evening star, currently making its way out from behind the glare of the sun and into twilight. Mercury can be notoriously hard to spot, but this appearance is as good as it gets, especially with Venus marking the way. For the first few days of April, look for Mercury glittering to the lower right of Venus. For the week thereafter, it'll be almost directly to Venus's right. The two are closest together on April 3rd and 4th, separated by about the width of two fingers at arm's length. By April 10th, Mercury starts fading rapidly as it moves around in its orbit. Although these two planets appear close together, they're not. Venus is about 1.5 times farther away. It looks so much brighter for three reasons. It's about twice the diameter of Mercury, it's covered with brilliantly reflective white clouds, and Venus is currently showing more of its sunlit side than Mercury is. Another treat in the west occurs on the evening of April 16th. About an hour after sunset, you'll see a lovely thin crescent moon lingering over the horizon. It's well above Venus, but just below the Pleiades star cluster. Depending on how much haze is present, you might need binoculars to make out the Pleiades. Those of you on the west coast will get to see the moon closer to the cluster, and the view from Hawaii should be exquisite. No matter when you go out in April, you can start your evening stargazing by facing the direction of sunset and then turning most of the way to the left so that you're facing southwest. About a third of the way up is the distinctive star pattern of the constellation Orion. His can't-miss trademark is the horizontal row of three medium bright stars that form his belt. Directly above them, by about the width of your clenched fist at arm's length, is the bright orangey star Betelgeuse, marking his shoulder. Directly below the belt, by about the same distance, is icy white Rigel, marking his foot. Look to the belt's left, and you'll spot bright Sirius, the star marking the collar of the hunter's big dog. Raise your view upward from Sirius, by about three fists, to spot the star Procyon in the little dog. And two fists higher in the sky, almost overhead, is the peach-colored planet Mars. Now just one fist to the right, or west, of Mars are the bright stars Pollux and Castor, the twins of Gemini. Pollux is the one closer to Mars. Now look to the left of Mars for a loose chain of stars that looks a bit like a backward question mark. Stargazers call this pattern the sickle, and it's a sure sign that you've found the constellation of Leo, the lion. The brightest star, ending the sickle's handle, and marking the lion's heart, is Regulus, which is Latin for little king. Okay, now you're looking high in the south, more or less, so spin around to your left, don't lose your balance, and you'll immediately recognize our old friend the Big Dipper. It's positioned with its bowl at upper left and its handle curving toward lower right. According to old farmer's lore, it's upside down as if dumping April showers. But hold on a sec, how can it be dumping showers if the sky is clear? Anyway, the two stars at the left end of the Dipper's bowl are known as the pointer stars because an imaginary line drawn down through them points almost directly at Polaris, the North Star. It's below the pointers by the width of three fists. Polaris marks the handle end of the notoriously dim Little Dipper, which on spring evenings extends to the right from Polaris. If you follow the pointer stars up instead of down, you'll soon run into Regulus. Now, the Big Dipper isn't a true constellation. It's what astronomers call an asterism, an obvious group of stars. The sickle is an asterism, too. But the Big Dipper is a part of a constellation, Ursa Major, which is Latin for the Big Bear. and the Little Dipper is in Ursa Minor, which means, you guessed it, the little bear. Now, if you think about it, bears come out of hibernation in spring, and so the big bear is now on the prowl high in the northeast. Equally high to its right is Leo, the lion. Okay, lions don't hibernate, but we're talking mythology here. And slithering up equally high in the southeast is long, winding Hydra, the sea serpent, a completely mythological creature that was quite the carnivore in Homer's Odyssey. Hydra's stars are all pretty dim, so you can think of it as hibernating if you want. Well, below Regulus is Alphard, which forms the serpent's fiery orange heart. Its head is farther right, over in the southwest, and its long tail has yet to clear the southeastern horizon. Come late April, keep your eye out for the Lyrid meteors on the mornings of the 22nd and 23rd. This isn't one of the year's strongest showers, so your best bet is to wait until the gibbous moon sets after midnight, or get up extra early. Full moon is April 28th, by the way. Finally, let me mention that April is Global Astronomy Month. This is a follow-on effort to 2009's International Year of Astronomy. During Global Astronomy Month, amateur stargazers worldwide will be participating in all kinds of events at small and large scales. At the local end, you'll find star parties and other activities pertaining to the night sky. More broadly, you can use the internet to tap into GAM's broadcast channel, where event organizers worldwide will offer general interest presentations, after-party highlights, and even live video streams. Check out all the plans at gam-awb.org. And you can get more stargazing tips at our website, skyandtelescope.com. So until next month, I wish you clear skies.